Anyway, that's what I've been doing instead of reading comics, is the upshot. Instead of doing reading, like a person who has a podcast that they're responsible for, I've just been going on midnight walks, trying really hard to get cursed.
Why do you want to be cursed? Or is this a fascination thing, or is this just, is it like, are you actively trying to get cursed currently, I guess is my question.
Well, not currently. I mean, currently I'm escaping with you. I don't think you can curse me.
I could, but I won't.
Okay. Well, I respect your eldritch powers. I appreciate your discretion with your eldritch powers. I can't really justify the decision I've made. I think it's more of a retroactive justification, where I would be going on these walks anyway. But it seems wrong to do them for no reason. So the justification is I should get myself cursed.
That makes sense. I follow that.
Yeah. You know, everybody should have a hobby.
You're right. You know, look at it as a crypto study.
Yeah. And since curses are fake and don't exist, trying to get cursed is a pretty harmless hobby, as far as these things go.
Yeah. Curses definitely don't exist.
They definitely don't. Which is why I'm going to get myself cursed. There we go. Okay, that was some anecdotes. What's your life been? Have you cursed anyone lately?
I almost bought a hex at a place called Catland a few weeks ago.
What?
Yeah. I'm not doing the greatest. I was all up in my feelings, and I was like, you know what? I should just hex them.
Yeah, let me remind you that this is the podcast, so don't incriminate yourself. If you're going to do a crimes hex, I don't know what the law about black magic is, like dark powers beyond our ken. So don't say anything that you wouldn't say to the listening public, but you were going to hex somebody.
No, I have no secrets. Okay. I mean, I didn't go through with it because my stupid empathy came back and I realized, you know, despite feelings of betrayal, what is the end result of a hex? I might get turned. It'll come back to me. That's karma that I don't want to deal with. All I can do is just sit back and hope my feelings change eventually.
That's very zen, actually. For someone who is considering fucking hexing someone, that's very emotionally mature.
I mean, a lot of shit has happened in the past, like, 48 hours. It's almost all been, I don't even know. My solace is that one day I will not wake up, and then I will...
This might be a little grim for the listening audience.
Oh, this is still it's the summer. It's the summer, you guys. Stuff happens during the summer, and sometimes emotions are high. Okay, let me rewind.
I realize I started us down a sort of dark path, but this is for public consumption.
Listen, the listening public, things are great. I went on a little vacation. We did some improv. That was okay. I got molested a little bit, which was not the greatest. Then I went to an after party where I did not get molested, and that was pretty cool. I have, you know, I read a lot. I've been reading. I got new bed sheets.
Do we need to not be doing the podcast right now? Do you just need to run down the last week of your life? Because we can do that, but we'd have to reschedule the podcast again.
I thought this was the podcast. Never mind.
This is the podcast, what I'm saying. If this is what you want to tell our listening audience about, fair enough. I can't dictate what you do with the audience that we have provided you with. They're at least 50% your audience.
I feel like I'm just bullying the audience and you now. I feel like I'm the drunk uncle that shows up on holidays and it's just like, let me tell you about my life, but I'm done with that. And now I'm good. We can talk comics.
So, what have you been reading lately? Comics-wise, not otherwise, because we're not a book club. Although we could be, but we're not.
The cooler version. I've been reading, I've sort of been on my manga tip, and my horror manga tip specifically.
Very Aaron, very what you do, what you bring to this show, very consistent with the spirit of this program.
I've been reading a delightful publication called the Kurosagi Corpse Delivery Service.
Absolutely. Very popular with moody teens.
Oh, you are familiar?
Uh-huh.
Essentially, it's a bunch of dropouts from a Buddhist college who go around talking to corpses and finding out where they need to be put or what they need to do before they can go on into the next phase of being dead, being at peace.
Just sort of put them to rest, sure.
Yeah.
More or less in keeping with our accidental theme of curses and hexes today. The unrestful supernatural is the idea here.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, absolutely. So, talk to me about your feelings about it. Not necessarily the unrestful dead generally, I meant more specifically the comic, but if you feel the need to also opine on ghosts more broadly, be my guest. Well, dear show too, so do whatever you want.
I, as you know, I am a big fan of shenanigans, and sort of, this isn't a gag comic, but it has a lot of elements of gag comics in it. There's a lot of banter, there are a lot of sort of, not like... There's sight gags. I was trying to come up with a word. There's sight gags throughout. It's not lighthearted.
No, I would not say it is.
But it's whimsical, and it's like, there's never like...
I would not call that comic whimsical. You should expand on that, because that is not a take that I share.
When I say whimsical, I don't mean like traipsing through a field of flowers. And, like, being like, whatever comes, comes. But just sort of being, like, very nonchalant. And then they're like, oh, this is a corpse. I guess we have to do this. This is our job. We don't get paid for it. They're not getting paid for it. So they really have no reason to do this beyond just being like, oh, it's sad that this body has not been able to be at peace.
They are trying to get paid for it. That is an important component of the series. They often sort of take whatever belongings they can get from the dead guy. I don't remember if it ever quite gets to the point of ripping the gold fillings out of their corpse teeth, but that's the general ambiance we're dealing with here. They put the soul to rest, and then they take whatever's left on the material plane.
It's always a vase or something. It's never anything of monetary value.
But often. They want it to be, explicitly in the text. That's part of why they form. In fact, they're somewhat resentful, or some parties of them, because it's a disparate group. Some parties are quite resentful that it is not monetizing the way they would like it to be, and others are more or less fine.
That's very true. I think maybe, like, the bald one... And maybe it's like half and half are in it for the money and the other half are just in it because of their misfits. There's nothing else they can do with their lives.
Yeah, the difficulty, the rising unemployment among Buddhist priests really puts a dent in their sort of employment possibilities.
That's what happens when you get rid of Tibet.
Okay, God, we are determined to make this a podcast that gets one of us permanently unemployed, aren't we? That's cool. It's fine.
I guess I am salty today.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting that. Okay, let me ring that back. Wind back one in. Okay. So yeah, you are correct that it is often the case that they are unable to bring advantage to themselves through their services, and they continue to do them anyway. So there is an element of, like, unwilling altruism that comes through in that. And in addition to which, their sort of misfitness as, like, this is where the misfits find a purpose is very much something that that story hits on the head repeatedly. And indeed, one could make the somewhat trite parallel that by bringing souls to rest, they're finding their own kind of peace.
Yeah.
But it is also true that it's a very gross series where what you initially described as whimsical and then went on to describe as nonchalant, I would describe as sort of, because you mentioned sight gags, right? And I think that's important to it. There's also a lot of banter. They juxtapose, or indeed cushion, the emotional release of, like, these dudes were good dudes all along, because they brought the granny to the field, or whatever. You know, they found the granny in the wardrobe, and they were like, let's just bring you out to the potter's field and leave you to die there, because that's what you wanted, granny. Yep. But, you know, in a moving kind of way. But they juxtapose that with the crass materiality of the team and the often lewd sexual humor that they include in the text. It's not overwhelming, but it's certainly a not insignificant component of the text, as I recall.
There is a lot of nudity and blood.
Yeah. So they've aimed low, as it were, even as the sort of emotional through line of the text is about finding belonging. It's cushioned by crassness, both crass materiality and desire to accrue a bunch of money, and also, like, sex and sex jokes and dicks out. And because it's a horror comic, a decent amount of both splatter and sort of torture violence.
I'm looking for the... There's one in particular chapter that's pretty... Like, it differs from... It's episodic. Like, there's no real... You can pick it up at any book, which is what I like about it. Because it has... It doesn't really follow...
It's true that it is not a single storyline that builds in ways that is entirely dependent on each other. Each story of them putting a corpse to rest, more or less, is readable by itself. But because they go into backstory for the crew, it does sort of link together that way. And I only read the first volume because I was not as into it as you are, mostly because I think nudity should be illegal in fiction as well as in life. Just because you can pick it up at any point does not mean that there's not a through line, and does not mean that it's not, you know, at least thematically linked, is my claim.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. They get... I'm in, to be fair, like, four volumes, because I have a lot of time. And they do backstory on... Their backstories are pretty, like, I still don't know, like, half of, they never talk about the Buddha school, but they talk about the one person, the serious person's background with a certain case, and I won't go into it or spoil it, but that's the only backstory I've seen so far.
I recall the first volume dealing a certain amount with the individual emotional plot lines of each of the characters, but not in a tremendous amount of detail, so certainly there's lots of different ways to read it.
I'm not good at picking up emotional through lines.
I don't think that's a particularly accurate self-assessment, but okay.
I wish there was more interesting art in it, but it's pretty standard manga fare. It's like, it's good, but it's the only real thing that's interesting is that bald guy's demon lady that pops out every now and then.
I would ask you to lean in on what you mean by pretty standard manga fare, because of course manga is a publishing industry, so the art for manga varies pretty wildly. It does not look very much like Cardcaptor Sakura, and more's the pity.
It is not drawn like Cardcaptor Sakura, that is true. It's like a very face, very close-up face-driven, a lot of, it's like the regular seinen, like, Great Teacher Onizuka style, building out, like, the layout, but focusing mostly on people's bodies, more so than the places they are.
You want to lean into what gives you that impression?
For the first volume, it's pretty much they're either outside or they're in their office.
In what ways does that preclude a focus on environment? Is having a variety of environments the same thing as focusing on an environment? Or, assuming not, in what ways does the text make it clear that outside or in their office are unimportant to what's happening? I'm not saying I disagree. I'm saying I want you to lean into what's giving you that impression.
What gives me that impression, I guess, is the speed at which they leave places, maybe. At least the sparse use of, like, location as an important part of the mystery. Like, the field is one where it's like, oh, we have to go to this field so grandma's whatever can be at rest. And I guess the first one, too. The first one could have taken place anywhere, which is the, oh, I was murdered by my girlfriend's jealous dad, so I have to go confront him. And that, I guess, would mean they have to go to his place, but they spend most of that time sort of just, even when they're in the house, they don't really show the house as much as, like, close-up face reactions, action shots, and blood.
Yeah, there's a visual de-emphasis on location for the most part. Their headquarters remain generic without anything particularly important to the way they engage with each other in it. The fact that they have a headquarters is important because it locates them as a clique, but the headquarters itself is not necessarily specifically characterized, and with the exception of a few locations like the field or the, like, weird torture hole for the one where they're like, we bring back your enemy, and then you get to murder them, hooray! That space is, I think, pretty clearly characterized.
Yeah.
But you're right that for the most part, because it takes place in generic houses, houses that are given very little to characterize them in relationship to the interpersonal drama that is the driving force of the plot, they're pretty much left as generic houses and visually de-emphasized.
What did you think about it?
What, the series? I didn't care about it.
Could you go in?
I really can't. I just didn't care about it. Like, I read it and I was like, that's fine. That happened. That series exists. Someone's going to be happy about it. I remember tweeting at the time that I liked the splatter, because I think it's pretty good generic horror. Like, if you're reading it to watch some dudes get murdered, you will get to watch some dudes get murdered. I don't particularly like things that try to be funny. Wow, that makes me sound much worse than I am as a person. Although it's true. I do think comedy is a mistake. I think comedians are mistakes. I think writing comedy is a sin akin to nudity. Because it distracts us from what's important. Getting cursed. Yeah, no, I mean, I mostly didn't care for it because I didn't think that the writing was interesting in a way that I was invested enough to, like, carry on looking at it. But I feel that way about a lot of things, so I don't think that's particularly meaningful as an assertion.
You did get through more than one volume.
No, I didn't. I only got through one. I got through the omnibus. That's the... I'm referring to the omnibus as one volume. So I guess you're right that I got through more than one volume, but it was really just like, I checked out the omnibus, I read the omnibus, I returned the omnibus, I proceeded to put it out of my mind for 9 months, and now here we are, back, discussing it.
I didn't even know they had an omnibus.
Yeah, it's the first three volumes, I guess. Yeah. So... I disagreed with you when you were right, which is something that I guess happens. I did get through more than one volume, but not because I liked it, only because it was all together in one place. So, like, it involved no effort on my part. I did not seek it out in the first place. I stumbled across in the library, and I did not seek out more than one volume. I was sort of a victim to three volumes being together in one, fooling me into thinking that I should keep reading it.
So it was a happy accident.
Well, I like to think that maybe this is proof that I can curse myself after all.
All this time, you've been cursed this whole time. You just didn't know it.
Caring about comics is a curse, so yes. Also, cat ownership is a fucking curse. Shut up, Maze. All he does is scream. I want a divorce. Yeah, so what else you been reading? Unless you have more things to say about the corpse delivery service.
Well, that covers it, pretty much. I read God Shaper, the first one, and it was pretty stupid. It's by Boom Studios, it's pretty... they have these things called gods that if you pray... into them, they, like, do the things electricity and ignition would do. And there's this guy who goes around God-shaping. He doesn't have the ability to have a god, per se, but he can shift and recalibrate other people's gods. But that makes him sort of a pariah in that society for some reason. And I don't know, they're not, like... I don't know why they call them gods, because they're just, like, weird, sparkly, jello things.
Seems like a premise. Seems like somebody had an idea, and then, unfortunately, the world needs comic books, so they made it into one.
Yeah. There is a scene at a rock club where he goes around, after performing his song, making out and talking to random people. Which is pretty... The art is alright.
You want to talk more about that?
Well, it sort of looks like something... They do a good job of hair. They do a good job detailing people's faces and, like, using the body as, like, a indicator of character. Or, like, what this type of character is like. They have interesting... panel layouts. I'm gonna send you this one. Like, it would be a better... I would like this more if there were no words in it, essentially.
They've certainly done an interesting job drawing a lot of kinds of people. In some ways, that's probably very efficient set making. So it seems like a case where they've made a world that they're very excited about. Spent a lot of time on that. You know, it's important for people to have hobbies.
Yeah. Even if their hobbies aren't very good.
Well, you know. We have this podcast.
Yep.
I feel like for people who enjoy reading a story and are really content to just read a story, that's going to be a good comic for them, it seems like. Seems like it's got a story and it's telling it.
That's for sure.
And, you know, I think all of us have read novels because we're like, I would like to participate in somebody else's vision for a minute. No shame in that.
There should be. I just think it's sort of panders.
You should lean on that, because nothing that you've said up to that point leads to pandering. Pandering to whom? And what's the problem with pandering?
Pandering? It's pandering to, like, the image crowd and people who, like, what's that fucking thing?
That's the kind of irritation I like to hear on this podcast. If we're not angry at comics, why are we even talking about them?
Agreed. It's pandering to people who like Saga.
Shots fucking fired! Okay, well, I certainly do think Saga was a much shittier comic than people gave it credit for being. You should talk about why you think it constitutes pandering and what you think the problem with pandering is, because we still haven't got to that. Like, pandering as such just means making a comic that has things that will make them happy. Unless you think that it necessarily involves compromising an artistic vision for that, which then we have to get into, like, what even an artistic vision is.
For some reason, I'm fine with the character. The main character is, I believe, some sort of folk singer, as well as being a shaper, which has nothing to do with anything, it seems.
According to the pitch from the publisher, he's a rock and roll musician, which, I'm not sure what you mean by has nothing to do with anything. Does everyone's job have to do with the other circumstances of their life in a really direct way?
No, but it doesn't come up again. It was like one part of an issue so far.
How many issues are there?
There are five. That's I've only read three, to be fair.
Still kind of weird.
It panders to eclecticism, just being like, we're on the fringe. Oh, we're so fringe, right? It's just sort of like...
You still haven't defined what you mean by pandering.
So what are you looking for?
Just exactly? Tell me what you mean by pandering.
It panders to...
Okay, you can't use the word pander anymore. Describe what you mean by pandering.
There's some parts of the comic that aren't really for anybody or any purpose of furthering the development of the story other than to just be like, hey, look at this cool thing. Which, if I thought it was a cool thing, I would be all about. But...
Which part specifically? Now that we've gotten to, you feel that there are parts that are unintegrated into the overall story, as seems to be the case with him being, I guess, a rock star. Although, like, certainly there are plenty of things that can be done with that, with the vague themes they've laid out. Like, when you say that they're not furthering the development, do you mean they're not contributing to characterization? Do you mean they're not... And when you say they're not, you're not interested in them, do you think that's because they're not more fully integrated, or do you think that's because they're not done well in themselves? And do you think those two things are different in a meaningful way?
I think it's just that it's not done in a meaningful way. Like, the first issue has to talk about the war that happened beforehand, before physics went all screwy for, like, a second. And just to, like...
So, basically, it sounds like you're saying they're throwing in elements that you think will appeal to people who have a strong desire for epic science fiction. in the Saga vein. But either like or unlike in Saga, these things are not executed in a way that feels like it substantiates the goals and the function of the story.
Yes.
Okay. That's contentious, and that's something that, were this an essay rather than a podcast, I would then ask you to lean in on and talk about, like, what you think that means in more detail. But I think I have leaned on you enough for one podcast. I just think things should be specific. That might be the closest I have to an ethical belief system, is claims should be specific. And my cat should stop yelling at me. Those are my two beliefs. Certainly I think that a thing that comics in issues are prone to is having an exaggerated sense of the worth of their own world building.
Yeah.
Where if you set something up and you're hoping that it'll pay off, either just by being sheerly interesting enough as an idea, or you are, like, gonna integrate it into the world more in, like, 50 fucking issues, you'd better be making a comic people want to read for 50 issues, or you'd better be right about how interesting the idea is. And their notion of gods doesn't seem like it's that interesting.
It's not. I'll have to reread it, but right now, it's like Pokemon. They're like, the gods are Pokemans, pretty much. Everybody gets one. They do one thing.
That's not really how Pokemon worked, but okay, close enough. I see what you're getting at. I'm not gonna fiddle the exact...
It's less interesting than Pokemon.
That's even harsher. Wow. Yeah.
Pokemon is actually a viable and worthwhile enterprise.
Contentious. Okay. Yeah, it does seem a shame that some appealing art is bent to the service of a underbaked enterprise. Maybe if I give him some food and shut up for 2 seconds? Hang on. I don't even want to have a cat anymore. I'm gonna trade him in for something. What if I just freed him when I moved to Florida? Like, it's too cold to free him here, but I think he'd do okay in Florida, comparatively fucking speaking.
You'll have alligators to hang out with.
Yeah, he's a lot like an alligator.
Hunt mice.
He's, you know, predatory, aesthetically pleasing, but unpleasant to be in the same room with.
Yeah, I was, Maybe you should get a gerbil or something. Or like
what, to feed to him?
I guess. I don't know.
Or did you mean to replace him after I hypothetically freed him to be among the alligators? What were you saying?
Once you replace him.
Yeah.
Once you free Maze into the South.
Yeah. It's fine. He's from Georgia. Georgia and Florida are similar. I'm losing my idiot mind. It's like living with a noise machine that also spits on you.
That sounds less than delight. Oh, Jesus.
24/7 screaming, and then also 24/7 sneezing meat. But it's cool, it's fine, you know, God is dead. So, God Shaper and Corpse Delivery Service, seems like you're going on a supernatural kick overall.
Yeah, that's where my mind's at. And now, yes, horror, supernatural shit.
Anyway, unless you have more comics you want to talk about, I know that we're inching towards when you need to leave to get to your band practice.
Well, I do want to talk. We should both talk Wonder Woman sometime.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm not interested in it.
Not even like a little bit?
No, not even slightly. I don't care at all.
What if somebody like dropped a DVD copy and was just like, oops.
I can't watch DVDs. I don't have a disk drive on my laptop. So, no.
What if someone just like a projector outside of your apartment was just playing it for some reason.
What, like, pointed into my apartment, or, like, I had to leave my apartment to go see it, because that determines what kind of response I have to it. I'm not leaving my apartment to go see it, that's for certain sure. If it were playing in my apartment, I think I would draw the curtains.
It'll just play on your curtains.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't, like, you know, they'd be blocking it for my purposes.
You'd rather watch a backwards movie than, like...
I'm not gonna watch it on my curtains. I'm gonna draw the curtains and leave the room.
You are hardline, uninterested.
I'm not sure I would go to the effort of leaving the room, to be honest, but I wouldn't, like, watch it. Like, it would be the same thing as when a cop car pulls up outside and I can see the red and blue lights on the curtains, but I'm not watching it.
Okay, I feel you.
You know, I get that there are people who are very invested in that particular vision of female empowerment, who feel very good about seeing a lady hit things. And I've been there in the past when I was about 19 or 20. And, you know, I'm sure those people also feel very good about the fact that women can be in combat positions in the army now.
Yeah, I feel you. Either way, it's fraught.
I don't even think it's interesting enough to be fraught. It's a pretty straightforward empowerment fantasy.
Yeah, for white ladies.
Yup. And, like, I am a white lady, but it's not an empowerment fantasy that appeals to me or that I think challenges anything that, like, corporate feminism is very comfortable offering white women. Handsome white man to bone. The ability to engage in nationalist conflicts. Like, okay, cool. If you're into that, I guess. You know, somebody has to be. Also, I hate original Wonder Woman a lot, so that's a whole separate issue.
Now that's the Trades podcast.
I realized throwing out an extremely controversial take of, like, I hate this thing people love is the most the trade shit I could do. And sort of involves, like, reasserting an interiority that I'm pretending not to have right now. But basically, it's part of the classic MST sex negativity look. William Moulton Marston was a dipshit who got his rocks off on strong women punishing him. But in a way that's very, like, fake fucking woke. WMM was the original fake woke kinky poly dude. And people who love Wonder Woman probably also, like, fucking click like on those jackasses on OkCupid who are like, I'm in a loving poly relationship with my wife. But I'm interested in empowered feminist fucking with you, secondary partner. You know those guys? That's William Martin. That's the fucking creator of Wonder Woman. And also, I don't like that he has two sort of similar names that start with M. Because that's inconvenient for me because I can never remember which order they go in. So not only was he fake woke, he's slightly inconvenienced me. And I don't like either of those things. Those are the two things that I hate most in life.
Take that fake poly dipshit.
Yeah, I mean, it's tedious. It's something that's appealing to people. Tedious people. There's a lot of boring people on this fucking earth. And they're all gonna go see Wonder Woman, so it's gonna be very successful.
Oh my god. I feel that so hard. Well, you know, thank God, thank something, thank whatever deity, whatever there is that created both of us.
No, I'm also very boring.
I'm interesting as fuck.
All right, well, at least one of us is. That seems like a betrayals. Thanks as always for listening, y'all. You can find us on our Facebook page, The Trades Podcast. You can find us on iTunes. The podcast is hosted at thetrades.podomatic.com. You can subscribe to an RSS feed if that's the kind of thing that gets your blood a-pumpin'. If you like the show, please consider rating it on iTunes or telling a friend about it or telling an enemy about it, and then maybe you'll be friends now. Okay, thanks.